My name is Don Becker, and I am now a retired pastor living in the community of Minden, where I served St. Paul Lutheran Church for 40 years. So when I arrived in Minden, as I told a few people, a good friend of mine, who I pastored with in Idaho, was serving here at Bethlehem by the name of Tom Johnston, Reverend Johnston. My wife, who did not accompany me, because I had to get up pretty early this morning. My wife, Sandy, has been a registered nurse in the Minden Hospital, now retired nurse. We have three daughters, all out of college and married. And my wife and I are a mixed marriage. She is the oldest of five farm girls, farmers' daughters, who grew up on a farm, and I grew up in the suburbs of Chicago. So it's been a real pleasure and a real delight to be in the country and to have had opportunities to visit members from St. Paul who have been in care homes here in Ravenna. So you won't remember any of that, and that's all right. But I'm glad you're here, and I am honored and privileged to serve you this morning as you offer up your prayers for another full-time pastor. So the Lord be with you and bless our worship, and we will open with the opening hymn as we follow the order of service in the bulletin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto you that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against you by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to your infinite mercy, seeking and imploring your grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, has had mercy upon us and has given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. To those who believe on his name, he gives power to become the children of God and has promised them his Holy Spirit. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all.
Amen.
God is in his holy habitation. He gives a home to the desolate. Glory be to God on high. The Lord be with all of you. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who are always more ready to hear than we to pray, and give more than we either desire or deserve, pour down upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving those things of which our conscience is afraid, and giving us those things that we are not worthy to ask, except through the merits and mediation of Christ our Lord, through whom the same Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. From the Old Testament, book of Genesis, the fourth chapter, these words. Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And again she bore his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. And Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions. And the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering, but for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. The Lord said to Cain, Why are you angry? Why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is for you, but you must rule over it. Cain spoke to Abel, his brother. And when they were in the field, Cain rose up against his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, Where is Abel, your brother? And Cain said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And the Lord said, What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it shall no longer yield to you its strength. You shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on earth. Cain said to the Lord, My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. Then the Lord said to Cain, Not so. If anyone kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord put a mark on Cain, lest any who found him should attack him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is recorded in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, beginning at the first verse, where the Apostle Paul writes, "Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me." This is the word of the Lord. We rise for the Alleluia verse. Alleluia, Alleluia. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 18th chapter. Jesus also told this parable to some who had trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, "O God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get." But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted." This is the gospel of the Lord. We join to confess the Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only God,
He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom I have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge my baptism and remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come.
O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all of our hearts and minds be acceptable to you through your Son, Jesus Christ, who humbles us and exalts us. Amen. We are saved by grace and grace alone, and we are humbled by Christ and Christ alone, by grace through faith, as we put our faith in Christ and in his work of atonement on the cross. On one other occasion, Jesus spoke of those who exalted themselves and those who humbled themselves, and that's in Luke chapter 14, verse 1, verses 7 through 14, which is the text for this message, where Jesus speaks not about a Pharisee and a lowly tax collector who went up to the temple to pray, but Jesus speaks about guests at a wedding. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, the other invited guests were watching him. Now, when Jesus noticed how those who were invited chose the places of honor, Jesus told this parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by the host. And the host who invited you will come and say to you, "Give your place to this person," and then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. It was the Sabbath, Luke tells us. Jesus was at the house of one of the top leaders of the Pharisees for a meal with other guests whom the Pharisee had invited. Luke also tells us that Jesus could not help but notice how the other guests were trying to elbow their ways into places of honor, striving to get up front, wanting to be recognized and show their importance in comparison to others. This is how Jesus' story reads in a modern paraphrase of the Bible called The Message. When someone invites you to a dinner, don't take the place of honor. Somebody more important than you might have been invited by the host. Then the host will come and call you out in front of everybody. "You're in the wrong place. This place of honor belongs to another person." Embarrassed and with a bit of a red face, you will have to make your way to the very last table, the only place left. No, when you are invited to dinner, go and sit at the last place. Then when the host comes, he may very well say, "Friend, come up to the front." That will be something for the other guests to talk about. What Jesus was saying is this: if you walk around with your nose in the air, you're going to fall flat on your face. But if you're content simply to be yourself, you will be more than yourself. As for walking around with your nose in the air or looking down on other people the way you first heard it, Jesus said, "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." In the kingdom of this world, a banquet is a banquet. And every banquet, large or small, has its places of honor. In the kingdom of this world, it's natural to want to be recognized for who and what we are. Fancy meals, banquets, are places, times where that happens. Who sits at the head table? Who sits next to the head table? Who sits up front? Who has to sit in the back, wherever they can find a seat? That's the way it is in this broken, sinful, self-judging, self-comparing world we live in. We live in a world where the first want to be first and the lasts have to be last. It's a world where it's pretty much everyone for themselves, and the have-nots are treated a lot less important as the haves. In the kingdom of this world, it's not uncommon for some people to think or to say, as the Pharisee said in today's gospel when he exalted himself, "Hey, look at how religious I am, how good I am. I thank God that I'm not a lot like other people." But in the kingdom of God, it's not like that. In the kingdom of God, it's not everyone for themselves. It's not self-worth, not self-importance, not some better than others, not some more deserving than others or more religious than others. No, in the kingdom of God, God is the host. And Jesus, the Son of God, Son of Man, does not have any kind of noteworthy, socially, religiously acceptable guest list. In the kingdom of God, all those who are invited to sit at God's great banquet table, all are Jesus' honored guests. They are people from all walks of life. People loved by God, people redeemed by Jesus through Jesus' self-sacrifice, suffering and dying on a cross for all our sins, and being raised to new life in the now but not yet kingdom of God, where there is no arrogance, no comparing ourselves to others, no amount of doing good or being religious that makes us better than others. In other words, sinful human beings that we are by nature, it's good to be reminded. It's good to be reassured. It's good news to hear that whenever the kingdom of God is breaking into this world, that's where there's a little bit of heaven touching earth here and now. To look at the Gospels, for Jesus throughout his earthly ministry, meals and sitting at table with sinners and outcasts were times of celebration, times that pointed to an inclusive fellowship that foreshadowed the inclusiveness of God's kingdom, where all sinners, all God's people, humbled by their sins, confessing their sins, are forgiven of their sins through trusting in Christ's death on the cross and his resurrection. And we are humbled, redeemed, exalted, raised to new life in this kingdom of God. As if to underscore that, Jesus went on to say to the Pharisee who had invited him to dine at his table, Jesus said, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind," which a professor, pastor, humble, thoughtful, good friend of mine says, really never happens, but for which the celebration of Holy Communion provides us with a practice run. And my friend goes on to say, these two parables are example stories, not true parables, but that does not dull their biblical or theological value. These are not stories about hospitality or about manners or any other virtues that can be separated from the radical new way of life in the kingdom of God. We do not need to press down hard on these stories in order to make them more doctrinally clear. We need only to live them. It's good to be humble. It's hard to be humble. But a little bit of humility can save us a lot of embarrassment. And humility is not a strategy to be used to put ourselves in a position to be recognized by others as in, look how humble he is, or how humble she is. With this sinful human nature of ours, modesty can be exaggerated. And humility can be a form of pride. That's the way it is in the kingdom of this world. But in the kingdom of God, true humility is selfless. True humility is an ongoing quality of life for those who know that our worth is not measured by the recognition of our peers. No, God in Christ has accepted us, blessed us, exalted us by grace through faith, and in Christ's death and resurrection, we are raised to new life. In the Lord's Prayer, we pray for the kingdom of God to come here on earth as it is in heaven. The invitation to sit at table with Christ in the coming kingdom of God is a grace-filled, cross-shaped, God-given invitation from God himself to us. And our worthiness to be included in the kingdom of God, to humbly be exalted before God in the presence of Jesus, our crucified Savior and Lord, is what we celebrate together every time we come to commune at the Lord's table, no matter where we sit. It does not matter how hard we work to be humble, how many times a week we pray, how much we give, or how much more we do for the church than others. What matters most is, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And God in Christ is merciful, more than we can imagine, more than we deserve. And when we are humbled and exalted by the cross of Christ, when we in faith partake of the body and blood of Christ from one worship service to the next, what a comfort it is. What encouragement and reassurance the cross of Christ gives us to go back to our homes justified and to go out into the world around us quietly, humbly serving, helping, being a blessing to others as we have been blessed and humbled and exalted in Christ. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. We rise for the offertory. the communion service. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Be merciful to us, Heavenly Father, for daily do we sin and transgress your holy will. For the sake of the perfect life and sacrificial death of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, forgive our sins. Fill us with your Spirit, that not forgetting we have been saved by grace through faith, which was not our doing, but your gracious gift. Lord, in your mercy, be merciful to your church, both here and in every place. Send forth faithful servants to deliver your grace and mercy to all whom you love, for whom your Son died and rose again. Lord, in your mercy, be mindful and merciful to those who are unemployed or underemployed in our land, that they would find gainful employment, and bless all who labor, that they would find contentment and security in their work. Lord, in your mercy, be merciful to all those in need, especially children who lack food, clothing, shelter, and provide for their needs. Look in mercy also upon all orphans who are in need of parents to care for them. Provide them with fathers and mothers who will love and care for them as their own. Until such provision is realized, bless those who care for them, that they would do so in love, which is filled with mercy and compassion. Lord, in your mercy, be merciful to the sick and to those who grieve, remembering in our hearts before you the names of loved ones and friends, that they would receive not only temporal relief, but that in all times and places and under all circumstances, they would know the forgiveness of their sins and the hope of eternal life won for them in Christ Jesus. Lord, in your mercy, be merciful to those who come to the holy altar today, that they would approach your throne of grace humbly and with reverence, and that they would receive the true body and blood of Christ in faith, and for their highest good, being united in one holy fellowship with all your saints. Lord, in your mercy. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we, O Lord, who come at your invitation, we who have our sins forgiven, we who have been humbled and exalted by your cross, gather now together around this table, evermore praising you and singing. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.